Radha Govinda Radhe, 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 Radha Govinda Radhe.
I'm very happy to welcome all of you for this fourth session of Bhakti Essentials. Today we will explore a subject that very much fascinates me. I almost would like to single it out. It is on the deities of Bhakti. Before I start, I would love to inform you that there is, for whom I consider these programs, what is my audience. But first of all, I have to request my assistants to not talk to each other and distract my attention. I have in mind two audiences. The first person is a person who wishes to spark their spiritual journey and the bhakti. The second audience is someone who is seasoned in the practice of bhakti and who wishes to put a fresh and maybe stronger foundation in their practice. Now, for all of this, beginner and practicing Bhakti Yogi alike, the deities of Bhakti can do tremendous to help them on their journey. How far can we reach on our own strengths, on our own steam? Some way we can go alone, but if we have support, or let me be even more clear, divine empowerment, then we can go and move much further, much longer, and much easier. And this is exactly why deities or divine personalities are there as guardians of bhakti. I'm well aware when a Westerner comes into an Indian temple, he is not always sure whom or what to expect on the altar. So many divinities, so many gods and goddesses, and therefore he is quite happy if he finds something like a roadmap that helps him through the complex world of the gods. This roadmap is something which is my hope to supply today to all of you. Actually, Bhakti and the divinities or deities of Bhakti are quite easy to understand by ways of an analogy. When you have a river, the same river water manifests in many waves that are flowing. All the waves are expression of the same river water. They have the same substance, but some are bigger, some are smaller, some are shaped in this way. Some of the waves may go in small little whirlpools, and in this way the river has many manifestations. The Bhagavatam says that the Supreme One is just like that river. And he manifests in so many ways and manifestations. So when you look on the altar, it's always the same, but in different expressions. When the Supreme comes as Buddha, he teaches wisdom. When he comes as Rama, he sets up order into a chaotic and unpredictable world. When he comes as Govinda or Krishna, he has yet another purpose to fulfill. But it's always the same one who comes in so many dresses and so many disguises, with only one essential purpose in mind, that is to uplift humanity. Different waves in the same river are still the river. The main deity, and most probably the most well-known deity of Bhakti, is Krishna. You find him on the various visual arts. There are many movies in India about him. You will find him in the dancing performances where he is portrayed. And you will find them in all localities. You may go to the south and find him worshipped in huge temples, and you may climb up the steep paths into the Himalayas, and you will find him in the caves of the yogis. And it is not a wonder why Krishna is so prominent, because he is the God of love, the embodiment of divine loving relationships. And these loving relationships, that is what bhakti is all about. When Krishna is at work, and I think that is quite intriguing, he manifests the universes with each of his exhales. The universe issue forth in a slightly expanding way. When he maintains the creation, yes, he is Vishnu at work. But when he is in his private mood, in his abode of Vrindavan, he is all about loving exchanges. I think I'd like to share with you a story which my spiritual master would use about to illustrate Krishna. He would say that once there was a minister from a foreign country who visited the famous minister Gladstone in his London office, and he was told, "Please, you wait." The minister said, I have an urgent appointment to fly back." But the secretary said, "Mr. Gladstone is in a very important meeting." Finally, the minister, who could not wait any longer and who could also not return without having spoken with Gladstone, burst into the room and was surprised to see that Mr. Gladstone was on all his fours. A little boy was riding on him and shouting at him, "Faster, faster, faster!" Mr. Gladstone was in a private mood. He was not at work. He was together with his little grandson. So, yes, so many manifestations of the Supreme are in their working mood. But Krishna is in his private mood. He's only interested to exchange love. There are many poems about Krishna expressing this. And one has said that, "O Krishna, you have laid out a trap of your love and your beauty, a trap in which you have captivated the hearts and thoughts of the entire world." My dear audience, we are so indebted to the saints of the past who have been able to share their direct experiences with posterity. They have been able to show how Krishna may yawn and show the whole universe in his mouth. And then next, be a little child who is fascinating the residents of his village Vrindavan. These human-like qualities and majestic qualities give a perfect picture of the Lord, and they meet perfectly in the lovable and charming personality of Krishna. The Bhakti tradition has done a very interesting shift. Normally, God is seen as an all-present, omnipotent, divine energy, the Brahman. But that divine, supreme power is seen in the Bhakti tradition as a beautiful, lovable Lord who attracts our hearts away from the world and into the wonderful kingdom of love. And therefore, the unnameable, unimaginable, supremely potent Lord comes into a little temple by the roadside of a little village and accepts the loving offerings of his devotees. What we speak here of is the power of attraction. It is said in one literature that once there was a theater event. When the audience saw Krishna and the moonbeams of his sweet smile, tears gushed out of their eyes, and they had no eyes to look at the theater any longer. Ah, how inconceivable are the ways of love. And then there's Krishna's flute. As soon as the residents of the spiritual world hear this flute sound, inert entities like trees start to sing and dance. Yes, the dancing trees. And vocal entities, they fall silent. Rivers stop either flowing or they go in a reverse order to come to the place where the flute is played. And firm objects like mountains begin to move about and melt. But his main purpose, to play his enchanting flute, is for Krishna to attract Srimati Radharani and all the innumerable living entities who turn towards him. They will also feel the attractive or pulling force that emanates from Krishna. There's a prayer to Krishna. O Shri Krishna, you are an ocean of mercy. You are the friend of the distressed and the source of creation. You are the master of the gopis and the lover of Srimati Radharani. I offer you my most respectful obeisances. And this prayer immediately points at the second divinity of Bhakti, the second deity of Bhakti, who is sometimes even seen as the foremost deity. That is Radha, the divine and presiding goddess of Bhakti. Modern people become more and more aware of the female aspect of the importance of women. Although in the creation or in the history of the civilizations, there are civilizations who have put women in a neglected corner, people nowadays see that's not good, because the women can bring the nurturing aspect, the caring aspect, which a very competitive society that is male dominated does often overlook. Concepts like seeing the world as a feminine entity become more and more prominent. Gaia, Mother Nature, Panchamama, Sophia, all these modern goddesses are welcomed back into the thinking of society. But Radha goes even beyond this. Radha is the goddess of a divine realm beyond the material world. And to come in contact with her helps the soul rise through bhakti. Her compassion, her wisdom, and her nurturing is extended into the material realm through her expansions of the various goddesses. But she herself is beyond even the material realm, beyond even our nurture, our concept of material nature. And she at once turns to someone who is willing to take her shelter or her assistance. There's a traditional story which is told in Vrindavan, the land of bhakti, if you so want. It is about Srimati Radharani. One day she walks up the steps to the palatial building in which Krishna stays, Nandagram. And as she is just about to enter, she sees on the right side of the portal a new tablet which was not there before. The tablet carries an inscription: only very qualified people are admitted here in Krishna's palace. On her return, a silent Radha goes up into her palace. She does not communicate with her girlfriends, the Sakis. She does not communicate with anyone. And after she is repeatedly asked, "Why are you so sober and somber?" she reveals her heart. Who is qualified in this age? When I saw that inscription, only very qualified people are allowed in Krishna's presence, I felt sorry for the sentient beings. And I want to give a solemn declaration. Anyone who comes to me and asks for shelter and support will find it. I will not look at anyone's qualifications or disqualifications, but will accept everyone. This quality is why Srimati Radharani, as she is also called, the goddess Radha, is so important for the journey of the bhakti yogi. She is embodying compassion, boundless compassion. And since she is the goddess of bhakti, she can empower the bhakti yogi with her divine shakti, which is full of knowledge, it's the shit shakti, and khladini shakti, the shakti which is full of joy. Inner knowing combined with unlimited joy will overcome all obstacles. And this is exactly the bhakti shakti, the energy of bhakti, which emanates from the all-compassionate Radha. Poets have said, every morning Radha goes to a lake of compassion and takes her bath there. If you look at deities of Radha, you will often find her hand raised in this gesture, a gesture of blessing. Once, Radha was asked, tell us about Krishna. And Radha said, we are one. We are only one. Remember our initial examples, different waves on the river. We are one. And she gave an example. She said, sometimes it is found the two lotus flowers will grow from the same stem. For all practical purposes, it's one flower, but it manifests in two. One is yellow, the other is blue. One is Radha, who has a golden effulgence. The second is Krishna, who has a bluish effulgence, like a sapphire. So in this way, Radha said, we are, our nature is one and our manifestations are two. Immediately the question comes, are the two ever becoming also completely one? And this question carries us to the third main deity of bhakti. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mystic and the avatar. Many things in the spiritual realm can best be told by stories. And to explain Chaitanya, it's best to use the magnifying glass of a Leela, a story. In one of the wisdom texts, we find a description of Radha and Krishna. Yogis meditate about a lotus flower, and in the center is a golden throne where Radha and Krishna sit, surrounded by their associates. So here Radha and Krishna are sitting and they're talking. And Krishna asked Radha, what is it in me that you appreciate so much, that your love is obstructed. And Radha says, you have so many qualities, my Lord, but these qualities can only be seen from the position of your worshipper, your lover. That time Krishna takes the hand of Radha in his hands and said, I understand you who are my supreme worshipper and lover can see all the qualities which even I cannot see in myself. I've often thought about it, and I feel a desire. I wish to understand me the way you understand me. I wish to become my own devotee, but for that I need to change completely into you. And Radha said, not it. And then Krishna went into her heart and came out of her heart with her own love. And that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Inside Krishna, outside Radha. He is the perfect devotee, the perfect worshipper, who has come as an avatar into this world to show what bhakti in perfection means, so that we have a role to follow. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as the hidden incarnation of Krishna, the Krishna who acts as his own devotee. He's also known as the God-intoxicated mystic who is always absorbed in the highest levels of ecstasies. Ecstasies which you have not seen in any other personality. Ecstasy so high that only God can carry them in his heart. He possessed an extraordinary charisma and, like Krishna also, a great beauty which overwhelmed all people who met him. We have description by his biographies who recorded his travels in the 15th century of how he would walk over the streets of India and he would be absorbed in chanting the holy names of Krishna, just like a bhakta. And people who would hear him would leave their work and come to him and joined into this chanting. And that was his purpose. He wanted to show that a simple path, that prema, the highest path which showed that prema, the highest expression of divine love, can arise in someone by the simple method of chanting and singing his holy names. Yes, he opened a nocturnal school of kirtan in Navadvip. People came and during the night they chanted and danced and followed the great Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the land of divine ecstasy and into the land of spirit by singing the holy name. Yogis, scholars, kings, ministers, women, children, old men, and even the outcasts who were avoided by the rest of society were all invited by him into the sacrificial arena of chanting the holy names. And anyone who saw him became... I'm struggling for the words. Overwhelmed with so much love, so much bhakti, that they could not remain the same. My dear listeners, whenever you set your feet on the path of love, you will change. If you have not changed after you started on the path of love, it certainly means that you have not loved enough. So in divine bhakti, there is a transformation happening that is so absolutely wonderful that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu created really a revolution at his time, a revolution which is still felt in the world by the many bhaktas who follow his unique path. I would like to now give you a little experience of his kirtans. I would like to guide you in a meditation on the deities of bhakti, and at the end of this meditation sing with you a very simple kirtan, Radha Govinda Radhe. It's so simple. I will sing it for you, and then we will all sing it together experience a little bit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's strengths. In this session, we have heard about the blessings which can come from the deities of bhakti. We have heard about Krishna, the embodiment of love. We have heard about Radha, the embodiment of compassion. And we have finally heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the combination of Radha and Krishna, Chaitanya is the embodiment of divine grace that extends to all sections of humanity without demanding to see any qualification at all. His chanting, true to what we heard about Radha's in solemn vow, his chanting was extended to all, even animals joined his kirtans. Followers of other religions joined his kirtans. And there is a group of scholars who will tell us that that his idea of love or bhakti superseding all other spiritual processes have also entered into other spiritual movements. Good. So in the following meditation, I invite you to envision one of these three deities and pray to them to empower them on your own path. Please sit tall. Spine erect and relax. Arrive in the present moment, and please put other things aside. Those of you who know and who wish can make the Jnana Mudra. Index finger touches the thumb. Palms up. Let go now of all emotions, plans, the many impressions which are already in the mind. And be present by taking a few deep breaths. And on your exhale, exhale a little bit longer than you are accustomed. Two more long breaths. Now move inside and connect with your true self. Think how you are inside there, an eternal being, a spirit soul, full of inner knowing and boundless bliss. Next, invite either Krishna, the embodiment of love, or Radha, the embodiment of compassion, divine compassion, or Sri Chaitanya, the embodiment of ecstasy and grace. Invite one of them to appear in your effulgent heart space. Meditate on the divine presence inside. And if you wish, you can offer a prayer. A prayer from your heart. When you're ready, please return to room awareness. Radha Govinda. Radhe. Radha Govinda Radhe. Everybody of you. Radha Govinda Radhe. 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 Excellent. I think we all would like to sing more. Time is there, and I will make a few final announcements and give you a few tips and exercises that you can do for the next week to deepen your understanding of the three deities of Bhakti. First, the announcements. We will post the recordings of the guided meditations we did this evening, tomorrow morning, Wednesday, on my Facebook page. In this way, you may practice it again if you like. Then, in our next session, Bhakti Essentials Part 5, it takes place on August 5th. We will discuss one of the most foremost practices of Bhakti, mantra chanting and kirtan. Up till now, we have dealt with Bhakti mostly as a bhava, or a divine feeling of divine love. But starting with the next session, we will learn a little bit more of the second aspect of Bhakti, the Bhakti practices. See you next time. I will also give you a few tips that I intend to post on the Facebook that you can do. First, I would like to suggest to you that you establish more of a relationship to the deities of Bhakti, Krishna, Radha and Sri Chaitanya by making yourself more familiar about them. I will give you some links where you can read about them. The second is become a singer. Sing kirtans to glorify Radha and Krishna, like this one, Radha Govinda Radhe. Jai Radha Madhava, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the third is pray for empowerment and divine revelations. I will also post prayers to each one of the three deities that you can pray, or you can compose your own prayers connecting to these essential qualities which the deities are showering upon us. This is why I personally am so absolutely fascinated with these deities. They are there and they shower their divine love, compassion, grace on us. And that is absolutely empowering. That is absolutely something wonderful. I thank you very much for participating in this Bhakti Essential session today. And I hope to see you and your friends all on August 5th for the fifth session. Have a wonderful rest of the day.